All right, ladies and gentlemen around the Delaware Valley, welcome to the Matarazzo and Lucia show here on WWDB Talk 860. We've got a fantastic broadcast. In the studio, we have Steve Lubscher. How are you, sir?
Doing well, Joe.
It's great to have you here. Now, I'm trying to remember your partner. He's a very dynamic. Is he or is he a soft? Let's take a shot at this. I'm going to take a shot because I know he's remote now and can't kick our butts.
Right.
He's, yeah, I mean, a couple. Although it won't take him long to get here. He's a big Giants. Oh no, he's a Dallas Cowboys fan.
He's a Cowboys fan. He's about 6'7", 250 pounds.
You know what? He's as dynamic as that, except that he's the ultimate Philly sports fan. Steve Matarazzo, how are you, sir?
Good afternoon. I'm all fired up with the Phillies kicking Dodgers around.
Oh, yeah. I'll tell you what. You know, it's an awesome time to be a Phillies fan. I'm going to bring in our guest so he can jump in on this conversation. Aaron Freewald, how are you, sir?
Doing great. Thanks for having me today.
And a Freewald Law. We go back pretty. And by the way, it is summertime. You could see none of us are going to court. Now, the only reason I'd be going to court would be if I was a defendant. Well, I'm not an attorney.
I'll tell you that the air conditioning in our office in Cherry Hill has been broken the past couple of days. So
really?
This is a pleasure getting here with, in the nice, cool studio.
Right. Well, let me just say this. So, Aaron, are you a Philly sports fan at all?
Phillies.
Okay, Phillies. Okay, so we can talk some sports. Now, look, I will tell you this, and I know Mr. Lubscher here is a big New York guy, and I am a fan of the polar bear.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I pull for that. I mean, except for when he's playing us.
Yeah.
He's a lot of fun to watch. I mean, The guy's about to sign for about, $250 million at least.
We'll see. He's a power hitter. He's kind of approaching 30 years old, and I don't know that the Mets are going to be making him a huge contract offer, or else they probably would have extended him already.
Somebody will, though. And he's a free agent this year. He came up late. That's the issue. But a lot of good things happening. What are you thinking, Mr. Matarazzo?
Well, it's always, number one, I'm down in Key West. So if you guys want to complain how hot it is, you ought to come down.
Tell you what, I'd like to be that hot right there by the water. But I'll,
seriously.
Yeah, no question.
Beautiful down there.
It is.
It is beautiful. I'm on an island about 8 minutes off of Key West where you're not allowed to drive any cars. I came here. But I'm working every day. I do virtual court every day, seeing all these clients on Zoom every day. But as we always do, I want to talk about sports initially, and then we can get into the law. So I just – if Philadelphia is not enjoying this ride
– Oh, yeah.
With the Phillies, then there is something psychologically wrong with us. I mean, we've had a number of our best players hurt. And, and I said this, and Lucia will tell you this. I said this in the winter. You cannot buy a championship. And these idiots in L.A., with their gated communities and all their other things going on out there, Hollywood people, that's not us Philly people, they think they can buy a championship. Well, we are proving you could buy Babe Ruth, and you still can't win if you don't have a cohesive unit. It's no different than a law firm. If you have individual people that aren't part of the team, it doesn't work. This is why the Phillies are going to win the World Series this year.
Well, it's interesting because the Sixers did the exact opposite thing. We did the process, and it backfired terribly. You know what's interesting? Our general manager, what's his name again? Dombrowski. What's interesting about him? Okay, this I just turned a big 6-0.
And happy birthday.
Thank you. But what's interesting about it is, I could admit when I've been schooled, over the last couple of years, the way we we all know baseball, Aaron, is a marathon then a sprint. So you don't know what you're going to get. But I absolutely would have redone the entire team. This guy let them grow. He's like, this shows I'm a typical Phillies fan or Philadelphia fan. I'm ready to clean house after the Astros series. And guess what? These guys obviously are developing. We got young players that are becoming all-stars right before our eyes. That's what you're talking about, right, Steve? I mean, they're letting these players.
And the chemistry. You got to have good chemistry.
They've also, they've gone out and gotten some big-time free agents. Let's not act like they haven't signed Bryce and Trey Turner.
Oh, no. I don't mean that. But what I'm saying is they let the nucleus of this team. You're right about that. They've picked up players, but we've been very fortunate, obviously, with Stott. Okay.
Bohm.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I mean, they let this team kind of stay together when they didn't have a fire sale. And
if you look at the starting All-Star team, and by the way, the All-Star game used to be great. Yeah. You know, it used to be the best All-Star game. I think it probably still is the best All-Star game, but it doesn't, for me, whatever reason, it doesn't have the same cachet. But if you look at the starting All-Star team, how many players does Philadelphia have on there? Three or four?
Most in the history of the franchise.
Is that right?
We have Bohm, we have Harper, we have Hoffman, we have Suarez, we have Nola, and we have our
Wheeler,
and so it's the most in the history of our franchise. So, yeah.
Let's talk about this. You know, you see the Phillies organization; they're born and bred Philadelphia people, like we are. They get us. They live here. The Sixers keep trying to buy a championship, and they get all these players. They had that stiff, you know, the draft, Ben Simmons and the other stiff that couldn't shoot up basketball.
Fultz.
And you know, then they went to Harden, and now they're going to go to the next guy. And this guy, you know, the carpetbagger from New York that owns the Sixers and owns the Washington, whatever they're called, and a soccer team and owns the Devils and wouldn't know what Philadelphia Street looked like because he takes his helicopter to the games, doesn't get it. You have to build a team, a cohesive unit. It doesn't work just trying to go out and buy these selfish free agents. Again, I'll equate it to a law firm. You have to have a team that is going in one direction. You can't have five different people going in different directions. And it starts with the head and the owner of the Phillies, who was born here like I was and will die here like I will, is from here. And the guy, the carpetbagger from New York that wants to build a stadium in the middle of Chinatown, mm-hmm. and at 12 o'clock in the afternoon, we can't get there in 2 hours, let alone there's going to be a parking garage. Explain to me how we're going to get out of that. But in any event, the Phillies get it. The Sixers will never get it. The process didn't work. It's just bad.
Well, I do want to mention, Steve Lubscher, you just said something about the All-Star games. Okay, man, two All-Star games that are a complete and utter joke. I don't even think they have the NFL All-Star, which they shouldn't.
No, they stopped the Pro Bowl.
They stopped it.
Right.
Literal flag football. Yeah. I think that's what it is.
And the basketball game is just a game of rough touch too. In the background, mm-hmm. in the backyard.
That's a joke, too.
You know, that so obviously the baseball All-Star game, and I guess the NHL one, we've been so bad so many years, I can't even...
You know, I'll tell you what, the baseball All-Star game, now by having to have a player represent every team,
yeah.
I think is lost, cachet on that.
Well, I guess they're thinking, you get one player, you got the whole city of New York. If they don't have a player from New York, I'm giving you just an example, nobody from New York is going to watch the game, not nobody,
yeah,
but
no,
you
it
get
makes
it.
Sense.
I get what you're saying. Your thoughts, Aaron?
Yeah, I think the Phillies are a very exciting team right now, and I think it's not just the players, any one of them or any group of them. I think they just have something, and I think Philly fans know when they have that something, and that's what's exciting.
Yeah,
and I'll tell you, as an outsider, absolutely. As an outsider, not a Phillies fan, but going to those Phillies games, especially in the playoffs. It's a huge party. I mean, it's a great time. The fans are diehard. You know, fans short for fanatics. They love it. It's a great stadium. It's a great environment. And even though I'm a New York sports fan and a New York Mets fan in particular, you know, I appreciate it, and it's hard not to root for them.
I'll tell you, when I think about, you know, I like the polar bear, but I'd say, and it's weird how players develop, but I mean, this Aaron Judge, mother of God. That guy's got 32 home runs, 70 RBIs before the All-Star break, okay? I mean, you know, he's massive, and people would say, well, you know, it's no surprise. Are you kidding me?
He's justifying the money that they paid him last year.
You don't win a World Series having one great player.
Yeah. You need a whole team. But yeah. I'm saying there's some exciting players, but this is what I'm saying. This is right. You know that Juan Soto said that they said Aaron Judge or the other guy, Stanton, Giancarlo Stanton, He said, who's the most exciting player out of those two? And Bryce Harper, he played with Bryce Harper. He said, this is now, about a month or two ago. He said, I got to go with Harper.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean.
Well, Soto's going to be a free agent at the end of the year, too. So we'll see. I think that the Mets are going to throw some money at him.
I mean, his statistics are some of the great ever as far as being on base percentage and all mm-hmm. that. So, but you know, Steve Matarazzo, that this is the fact, and we know because we beat the Braves two years in a row where they were 20 games ahead of us. It's a marathon and a sprint. What makes it any different this year, Steve? For us, how do we get past that proverbial hump in the playoffs?
Well, good question, because we're the front runner now. We're not coming from behind, but a couple issues. Number one, I think it would be great for baseball and great for Philadelphia and great for New York if it were the Yankees and the Phillies. But it's a 162 game season, and the problem is, and we've seen this, we've had Romoto hurt, we've had Harper hurt, we've had Schwarber hurt, we've had a lot of guys hurt. Everybody knows in the playoffs it comes down to pitching. At the end of the day. So last year we got blown up by that lunatic who's now in Baltimore because he couldn't throw a strike. So it's going to come down to our pitching and our bullpen. And I would say historically we've had a really weak bullpen. But if the guys can stay healthy, I think we got a real shot this year. I think we're going to get there. I think we got some type of special karma, as my colleague said earlier, and I think we all feel it. And it's sort of like the Eagles run years ago. We got a good feeling about this.
Well, it's your thoughts.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. I mean, that's how it was the last time, and I think we had it against the Yankees too, but we just couldn't keep it together long enough.
Well, that team is, especially when you go back to the 08 team, right? You can look at that team, and I'm not going to compare them to the 85 Bears, because the 85 Bears were one of the great teams in the history of the game, and you sit there and you think to yourself, man, how could they not win? It's so easy not to win because some teams you end up looking at some of these eras where you get a Michael Jordan or the Dallas Cowboys just became, back then, and the 49ers, and so, but. That particular team just ran into a buzzsaw when it came to the Yankees. The Yankees, were incredible that year. But I look at this year's Phillies team. The only thing that concerns me is that we don't have a lot of flamethrowers as starters, and it just seems like that in the major leagues and in baseball, a lot of these teams have guys that are throwing 97. Now, of course, Wheeler does, and we have a lot of relievers that throw that hard. But I'm a little concerned, and because it's...
Who do you think has the pitching that could match up?
Well, I'm always afraid of the Astros. Mm-hmm. They started off horribly, and here we go again, right? And so, the one of the issues that the Yankees are having right now, I think it's, their pitching is not...
Yankees, they spent a lot of money on, what's his name, Rodon, who just, I don't think that he could handle the pressure of New York. Right. So I certainly don't think that he can handle the pressure of the playoffs. Baseball is interesting because, for the past few years, it's really, as long as you sneak into the playoffs, you got a shot, right? Like Arizona last year, didn't they sneak into the playoffs and they ended up making the World Series?
Oh, yeah.
I feel like the Braves, the year before that. So it'll be interesting, but yeah, it is about pitching.
And injuries, right? Yeah. I mean, look at the Braves, okay, which I can't stand the Braves, of course. I mean, but
there are teams you love and there are teams you love to hate.
Right. And they're the team that I love to hate the most, but Strider went down and so did, Acuna.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. It's and baseball, if you look at baseball, baseball's fixed a lot of things. I think the pitch clock is excellent.
Mm-hmm.
They're starting the games earlier. For example, in Philadelphia, most of the games start at 6:40 at night. And if you look at the games, the average length of the game, it's a little over 2 hours unless, you know, it's extra innings. I think it's more fan friendly. The last thing that we need to do is get rid of the step umpires that are just absolutely horrific. They're the worst in any sport. And as we saw with our manager a few weeks ago, I don't think we've had a show since then. It was in Florida, and our manager, who is a reserve gentleman, lost his mind. And the umpire, who were not there paying to watch, decided to take over the show. And he was horrific for both teams, the Florida Marlins and the Phillies. But then he decided to, you know, get in our manager's face and become the star of the show. These guys need to go. I have zero tolerance. They have no accountability, Joe. In every profession in this country, whether you're a lawyer, a doctor, do what you do, or a radio show gentleman, a nurse, an iron worker, you have accountability. These clowns have zero accountability, and it's atrocious.
And it's also not like they're reffing football or basketball either, you know, where it's a fast-paced game, you know, really physical in both of those games. Calls could go, you know, there are a bunch of 50-50 calls. Here, you have a strike zone. I mean, we see it because every game now has the box that, you
know,
you could see. There, Steve's right. There's no reason to have at least a home plate umpire calling balls and strikes.
Well, what do you think, Aaron?
I love that idea. You know, I'm very old school when it comes to baseball.
I'm kind of traditional, too.
You know, some of this stuff, to me, is part of the game. You know, yeah, there are going to be some bad calls, but what would it be like being at a game if you couldn't yell at the umpire over a bad call?
Right.
You know, it's going to go for you sometimes. It's going to go against you. That's baseball. Well, I don't want to make it into a machine.
Yeah, it's interesting. Know? I kind of have that same feeling, and I'll tell you why, Steve. And by the way, I'm only saying this because Steve's 2,000 miles away. So you're not here, are you, Steve? You're not in the other room going to come in and jump through the glass on me. You got my back. I'm in the corner. I can't get out.
Yeah, I got you.
But the reason why I agree, I'm a traditionalist also. And even though they are bad at times, first of all, they're the best bad you're going to get. Yeah. So in other words, in the world, if you know, they're as good as it gets. And the players, for example, you can fail 70% of the time, 80% of the time. If an umpire failed 70% of the time, obviously he wouldn't make that. But they get the – now, if you're a reliever, you don't get that. At the same time, Steve, let me throw something at you. Tell me if you think this is a decent idea. Because like Aaron, you just said, I think most of the issues are at home plate. And I'll tell you what I really think when it comes to these, one of the reasons why things are the way they are now. Catchers are framing the pitches better than anything I've ever seen. So when they're framing balls, it's hard to, like, these guys are so good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so they're shifting back and forth. But Steve, let me ask you a question. Wouldn't it be cool if we could, and I know it might make the game longer, but let them appeal, get a couple of, you know, one appeal per bat. And if you could, or something like that, where, you know, they look at the box or, you know, I mean, some kind of like situation. It's just a thought process. Go ahead, Steve.
Well, let me address that. Okay. Sure. So I agree with, I'm old school too. I'm 56. I like the game as it is, but here's what my analysis is. When the NHL has a problem with a call, the referee skates away. In the NFL, they're too old and too fat, and they can't even keep up with the players, but they walk away. In the NBA, they generally walk away, the referees. Why in Major League Baseball do these fatzos who are out of shape and have egos the size of Philadelphia think they have a right to get in Bryce Harper's face or judge's face? We're there paying to see these players. Now, if a strike is a strike, it's a strike. I don't have a problem with that. But they engage and they pour the lighter fluid on it and burn it. All the other referees in sports walk away.
Now, you'll see basketball too. Basketball, especially in the playoffs, you saw, you know, a lot of these refs, you know, quick to do it, you know, hit up a technical.
Well, and they get in. But let me say something about that comment.
I'm with you on that, though.
What's that?
Yeah, you know, the antics, getting into it with the batter.
But no, I got you. But let me throw something at both. Let me throw it something to everybody. Different sports have different things. So, for example, hockey, they have fighting. You could never fight. So, you know, some of the most entertaining baseball clips, and I'm throwing this at you, Steve, are Earl Weaver arguing, you know, so, you know, like balls and strike, you know, and Billy Martin.
Dirt. I was just going to say that.
You
one.
Know,
yeah.
Like
that's
so,
a class.
So I guess what I'm saying is, even though I agree with that, and I'll tell you what, it's really bad when, and I'm, don't get me wrong, I'm not a big, you know, referee fan or anything like that. And especially annoys the hell out of me when, you know, when they get these calls wrong, when it's a check swing and hey, a couple weeks ago, I forget, it wasn't Bryce Harper. It was Real Muto where they said he check swung and it was a strike. It went, the different bases were loaded. Okay. It went from what had been 3-1 to 2-2 and then with two outs. So it was a terrible call. It annoys the crap out of me. Right. And they can't, and they showed it, and he was, and they're right more than they're wrong on those situations. So I'm not real pleased with a large portion of these calls, but
you could have a review process, some number of reviews per game,
or, yeah,
you know, something like that. Well, does get overused.
But what I'm saying is, like, there's fighting in hockey, okay, that you know, now the Broad Street Bullies, that's a little different story, but my point is, in baseball, it seems like it's arguing. Basketball, you know, how many times does an NBA player walk? You know,
all the time, the whole game.
And in the NFL, I'll have to think about it. But having said that, you know, definitely there's a lot there. And by the way, if you're an umpire.
In the NFL, there's holding on every single play, there's pass interference on every single play,
right?
Both offensive and defensive.
Yeah.
But Joe, what I'm addressing is a different issue. What I'm addressing is the word accountability.
Yeah.
Everybody that is listening to this show or driving on the Google Expressway or I-95 or the Jersey Turnpike, we all have accountability. These guys have zero accountability, and they get paid good money. We all make mistakes in life. But when you make a mistake, you don't get in the person's face and start screaming at him and putting your finger at his
Well, and also this, though, in baseball, they're throwing guys. How about at the beginning of the season when Aaron Boone was
I know
got
exactly
thrown
where
out.
You're going. I know exactly where you're going.
He got thrown out. Did you see that, Aaron?
I didn't see that one.
So Aaron Boone is notorious for getting thrown out of games and arguing with the umpires, right? So he's arguing, him and the umpire.
He wasn't arguing.
No, but he wasn't. But I think there was a little and the umpire had him in check, right? And the fan above the dugout, you know, this is like two pitches later, starts yelling at him. He turns around
and he throws out Boone.
And he throws out Aaron Boone. And they have on, you know, like on a double screen that he didn't do it. So to your point, Steve, to me, you know, if an umpire does something that egregious, he should be thrown out. He should, you know, no accountability. That was the least. I thought to myself, there's at least going to be a rule change because there's no way he saw Aaron Boone.
Well, right. You know, and the worst one of those umpires.
Oh, yeah.
Hernandez. He retired earlier this year.
Yeah.
But, right, but that's a good example where you could have a review for something like that. But
oh, my God.
An umpire calls a ball and you thought it was a strike. I mean, that's baseball.
That's part of the game.
You want to be able to yell at that umpire.
You know, now there's a lot of, you know, like they got the box there. They're doing but what did you think of that play, Steve, when Aaron Boone got thrown out? And don't you think there should have been?
I think it's embarrassing. I think
it was.
Again, we're not there to see the umpires. They should be invisible. If they're invisible, they're doing their job. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, I'm a passionate little guy, and I Aaron Boone is, and Aaron Boone should be able to voice his opinion. In this example, he didn't even say anything, and that just shows you how quick these umpires are with the trigger to get rid of somebody. The fans complaining, not the Aaron Boone, and he throws Aaron Boone out. I mean, he should be suspended for six 6 months. He shouldn't be on the field.
And there should be
a penalty for the umpire.
Well, I do agree. I agree he should have been suspended, or there should have been some accountability right then and there. You're right. They don't make comments after games, nothing. I mean, so speaking of guys that are accountable and are outstanding attorneys, what a segue, huh?
Nice job, Joe.
I'm a real pro, right? Steve Matarazzo, if you would remind our listeners and our guest, Aaron
Freewald.
I'm sorry, Aaron.
That's all right.
I'm getting Aaron Boone. I was going to say Aaron Boone.
They got the same hair.
They do. Listen, by the way, you got to see Aaron Freewald. He's got the fedora hat, but he could pass for.
He looks like he could be in Key West with Matarazzo.
Yeah.
With
the, I brought my Panama hat today.
Right. Yeah, you look good. But anyway, Steve Matarazzo, if you want a little bit about the firm.
So we practice workers' compensation, soup to nuts. I've been doing it 30 years. Mr. Lubscher's been doing it in excess, I believe, it's 15 years.
About 15, yeah.
We practice New Jersey workers' compensation law, which is very, very different than Pennsylvania law. We've discussed this with some of your guests and our guests. And we're here to assist and educate the public on why you need to get an attorney to guide you through the process. And, Joe, you always ask me, what I want to talk about today after we're done with sports. And once we introduce everybody, what I want to talk about is something that is happening in today's world with Uber, Lyft, Instacart, these delivery services where realtors, where the insurance companies are taking the position that they are independent contractors and not covered under our workers' compensation statute, and I want to discuss that once we have an induction of everybody.
Sounds good. Steve Lubscher, anything to add?
No, not really. You know, we've done this before. Like Steve said, we're a full-service New Jersey workers' compensation law firm. Workers' comp, especially in New Jersey, it's a very niche practice. It's a specialized practice. You need to get to the right attorneys. This is all we do. You know, like I tell my clients when I first meet them, you know, I could probably represent you if you got a speeding ticket, right? I could go to municipal court and I'm sure that I could plea it down to, you know, an unsafe operation of a motor vehicle. I've done it before. But I'm not, you know, we'll send you to the experts in that field. You know, this is what we do. We have been doing it exclusively, like Steve said, exclusively for 30 years. I've been doing it exclusively for 15 years. We have a lot of staff. We're passionate about what we do. We like what we do. We like helping people.
And workers' compensation in New Jersey, and I'll say this to Aaron. What's interesting, I will tell you this with everything I got in me. Of course, you and I have done shows in the past. We've talked about personal injury and a lot of those things. I've had a lot of Philly work comp attorneys on. And always, this was, and Steve Lubscher and Steve Matarazzo, they're going to know this. You know, I say this all day and all night. But when I was an iron worker, right, and we know what I'm going to say. When I was an iron worker and working on the Walt Whitman Bridge, there was a saying we had. And that saying was, if you get injured on the bridge on the Jersey side, crawl to the PA side, right? I'm not kidding you when I say this. I will say, after meeting these guys, okay, and the medical situation over there, I no longer feel that. And the reason I say that is I've never met guys, first of all, as you can tell, Steve Matarazzo's, you know, one of the feistiest dudes and one of the most hard-hitting, and his partner in crime right here is right with him. And so, but the education that I've had on Jersey Work Comp and the medical, okay, and how they fight to make sure that their clients get the right medical, it's been unbelievable. So, and it's something we talk about a lot. I know we're going to be talking about Uber, Lyft, and of course, what Aaron does in a second. But I will say that I'd like if you would real quick, Steve, to kind of talk clarify what I'm saying in regards to how you guys fight for, you know, the proper medical for individuals, and don't take the fact that, you know, the insurance company in Jersey controls the medical as something that's written in stone, particularly if your client has the wrong medical treatment and it's not getting treated properly.
So let's just quickly review. There's three benefits in New Jersey. The first is medical, and our statute indicates that the insurance company designates the doctor, and that's what we're going to talk about in a second. The second benefit is money right or out of work. The workers' comp doctor takes you out of work, you're eligible for 70% of your wage. We have a maximum every year. It's $1,031 for 2024. And then your case is adjudicated at the end by a judge. We don't have a jury. We don't have pain and suffering. And the settlement is based upon the body part and the diagnosis. But when we talk about medical, this is what drives me absolutely insane. So the statute and the law says that workers' comp gets to choose the doctor, but it's sort of like they get the first bite at the apple. I'm so tired of the chop shops, Amazon and their Amcare, WorkNet, Concentra. They're not even seeing doctors 90% of the time. I had a conference on Saturday with a gentleman, a Zoom conference, where he has a knee injury. He's got a blown meniscus in his knee, and he's treating with a spinal physician. I mean, it's insanity. That gentleman has been treating for 6 months with a spinal physician. I'm probably more qualified to help that gentleman medically than the spinal physician who doesn't treat knees. The problem in workers' compensation is they don't send you to a doctor, i.e. Amcare at Amazon. Number two, even if they do send you someplace, half the time they send you to the wrong doctor. So if you have a knee injury, you should be seeing a knee specialist. If you have a shoulder injury, you should be seeing a shoulder specialist. Same thing with a spinal injury, spinal doctor. So even though the law says that they get to designate the doctor, poppycock, okay? No, I'm going to step in and say no mas on my watch, and I'm going to take that client, I'm going to spend my money, and I'm going to have that client evaluated by the correct physician, file an application/motion with the court, and the judges are human beings. They get it. They wouldn't want their wife seeing the wrong doctor. And these insurance companies will pull your chain until you try to go away. Unless you get people that know what they're doing 24/7 with this, you're going to get taken to the cleaners.
And so Aaron's got a question for us.
Steve, I wanted to ask you about that, and I hope this isn't taking us off the track. I think what I want to ask you is closely related. I don't do workers' comp, but I work with a lot of workers' comp firms. I do a lot of medical malpractice cases in PA and New Jersey. And we're seeing, I would say, a startling increase in cases where a worker was sent to one of those chop shops, as you put it. And they're malpracticed there. Might be the wrong doctor. These are occupational doctors who are trying to get the worker back to work. That's really what they're there to do. Mm-hmm. They're not necessarily there to get them an MRI, for example. So they'll say, oh, you have an X-ray, that's fine. No, that patient needed an MRI. So I'm seeing a lot of cases of malpractice out of exactly that situation.
And Steve, why aren't there? You know, I'll go, Steve Lusher. I'm not a lawyer, okay, but I haven't had. I've always wondered that. Is there a reason why some of these cases, and evidently they are now, but more of these cases aren't going to medical malpractice with some of the stuff that these people are. These injured workers are going through.
Because people, generally speaking, they trust the doctors, right? And they trust the medical professionals. I've said it before on this show, the thought process, the public policy behind the insurance companies getting to, or, you know, technically the employer getting to direct or control medical treatment, the public policy was in the right place. The legislature, when they enacted the workers' compensation statute, they thought that would satisfy the best of both worlds. What's going to happen is that the employer is going to pick the best doctors that they can. That way, the employee gets the best treatment, and they get that person back to work as soon as possible. Unfortunately, you know. Go ahead, Steve.
The problem with this situation is, and again, I'm not a medical malpractice attorney, so I don't know what the standard of proofs on those issues are. But you have the packer at Amazon, they have their own medical facility in-house where they send the injured worker. They get thrown back on the line 15 minutes later. They don't offer them a real physician. or an evaluation, and they don't want to order an MRI. They don't want to find out what's up with somebody because then they got to pay for the medical treatment. It is a stall and delay and deny. And I do want to talk about Uber and Lyft because that's an issue with this. And what I have to implore to people is you can't go through this process on your own. You need guidance. And as my colleague, Mr. Lubshin, will say, we don't get paid until the very end of the case. So you have zero out-of-pocket expenses. We are here to help people. And the problem is that one of our greatest clients is the Spanish community, where they do not speak English. We have 5 Spanish interpreters. And the Spanish community are one of the hardest working people I've ever seen in my life. And they have this, they were brought up where they would trust the doctor. Mm-hmm. You can't trust these workers' compensation doctors. They're getting all this work from the insurance company. There's a neurosurgeon out there that went to Harvard and went to Harvard Medical School, and he's brilliant, but he says whatever the insurance company wants him to say.
Now, I mean,
you've got to get somebody to help you with that.
Steve, let me just ask Aaron. So are you actually getting successful Med-Mal cases?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Really?
And to Steve, your point about getting guidance from an attorney, I would add to that and say people who've been injured ought to get guidance from an attorney as soon as possible. Because if you're put in the hands of a doctor who's really not the right doctor, who's not ordering the right tests, who's not giving you the right care, and whose focus is overly on getting you back to work, probably prematurely, you want to have that input from an attorney sooner rather than later. In other words, before it's too late, before malpractice has already happened, and I get involved at that point.
Wow.
But yeah, I mean, you have an insurance company choosing the doctor. You ought to be able to sue the insurance company if they choose the wrong doctor.
Wow. That's actually...
But that's not the case.
Real quick on this, but to drive the point home, I have a young woman that I'm representing. I work 7 days a week, and Christmas, New Year's, Thanksgiving, I'm there. I'm working. I'm here. She calls me on a Saturday. She's seen the workers' compensation doctor, again, this Harvard-trained guy that's smarter than all of us, and he discharges her. And I'll clean this up because we're on the radio. She's a young woman, and she is having bowel issues and urinary issues. This guy discharges her. I get one of the top orthopedic surgeons on the phone on a Saturday afternoon. She's rushed to the hospital and has emergency surgery. And this clown the insurance company chose is in their back pocket and will discharge his own mother to make the insurance companies happy. And this poor lady still has urologic and bowel issues because she didn't get the proper medical treatment until I got her to a top-notch doctor.
Sounds like someone you should send over to. Sounds like someone that you should send over to Aaron, Steve.
Before you respond to this, Aaron, do you do this in PA and in New Jersey?
I personally am not barred in New Jersey, so my practice personally is in Pennsylvania mostly. But we do, our firm handles cases in New Jersey. I have a couple of trials in New Jersey coming up.
To me, this is ground. I'll be honest. Have you, Steve? Matarazzo, have you heard this? I mean, is this something that normally happens? Because I've never heard this. I mean, believe it or not.
No, it does happen. It doesn't happen every day. But this woman is in her 40s. And it's what I do see on a daily basis is they go to the MedExpress, the occupational medicine, the Concentra, and they get discharged, and they still have major problems. And they call the insurance company, and the insurance company adjuster says, sorry, you were discharged. No. Get somebody that can help you. I will spend our money, Mr. Lubser's money and my money, to get you to the right physician that the judge respects to get the proper medical treatment.
Okay, so, yeah, there's so much here. I'm kind of jumping out of my shoes here because, I mean, you know, this is a conversation. You talk about those type of situations, and now something I've been jumping off the top of the highest mountain to talk about. Let's, because we don't, believe it or not, we're going so fast. Let's get into the Uber and Lyft thing. But before we do, real quick, Aaron, talk about just tell our listeners about the firm real quick and
sure.
You know what you guys do, because I know we're going to be talking together about the Uber thing, but
sure,
if you would.
No. Yeah, I'm Aaron Freewald. My firm's called Freewald Law. Our office is in Center City, Philadelphia. I've been doing this almost 30 years. We handle everything from auto cases, auto accidents, slip and fall, complex medical malpractice like we're talking about now. I have a case right now, Steve, that's almost identical to the one you described from that Saturday afternoon. Product liability cases, defective products, civil rights, sexual assault victims, and more and more, we're representing companies as plaintiffs who have disputes with other companies. We do it all on a contingent fee, just like the workers' comp. We don't get paid until the end of the case. It works very much the same way. And like I said, we work very closely. We get cases from workers' comp attorneys like yourselves. We refer cases back to workers' comp because I don't do that kind of work. Mm-hmm. So the relationship we have is very complementary. And that's why, I think we can talk together about these things and share some of what we know about it.
Absolutely. I mean,
He brings up a great point. And people, listen to me out there. You can have a multifactorial situation where you are involved in an accident driving a truck or a bus or a car, so it's work-related. If you need a workers' comp lawyer, you certainly need a third-party attorney. You certainly may need a Social Security disability lawyer. You may need an employment lawyer. You may need a medical malpractice attorney. So what I'm preaching to you folks is you can't navigate this system on your own. If you come to me, I'm going to tell you right to your face, all I'm going to do is your workers' comp case, but I got the guys that will handle the Social Security disability, the employment, the third party, the Med-Mal. And it's important that you don't do this on your own, because the statute of limitations will be blown before you find out you may have a third party or Med-Mal case. And my colleague will agree with me on that.
Absolutely. And that's what I was saying earlier. You have to, where you have a complex situation, look, if you stubbed your toe, if you cut your finger, fine. But if you have a serious injury, especially, you want to get the advice of a good workers' comp attorney like Steve, who's going to put you in touch with the right team. Often it's a team of people you need helping you, helping you with medical bills, making sure you're getting the right medical treatment. Making sure that, the issues that need to be identified and dealt with are identified, and you're working with the right team of people, basically.
Absolutely. Well, there's so much here, man. I've been thinking, I've been asking these questions in regards to, so that it's so funny that both firms, like what you guys do, Steve Lubscher and Steve Matarazzo, that, take no for an answer. When it comes to Jersey Comp, okay, and the medical there, which to me has opened my eyes. I've never met, and I've done several shows on where medical in regards to work comp in Jersey, and our conversations have educated me so much. And so there's so much, and now I have known Aaron for a long time, haven't seen him in a while, but now talking about that, I've always wondered why people aren't getting more aggressive with these, the insurance companies that are taking these doctors who care, they're hired by the work comp. I mean, the insurance company, and so it's refreshing to have this conversation. Steve, let's talk real quick.
Joe, real quick on this. Just so this is how important this is for the average person out there. I was on courts, because our courts are still virtual, in court, where the judge was listening. There were 20 of us there, all on Zoom, and the attorney said to the judge, my client went in to see the doctor. The doctor wrote exactly what my client needed. The nurse case manager went into the doctor's office without my client, meaning the injured worker, and the doctor made the doctor change all of his recommendations. So that is what we're talking. That is malpractice, I would assume, but it's certainly wrong. So if you don't have an advocate that can go to a judge, and the judge went absolutely apoplectic, and he's making that nurse case manager actually come into court and explain to him who does she think she is, going into a licensed physician who has already told the patient in a fiduciary relationship what that patient needs, and then because the insurance company's paying his bill, she demands that he change his recommendations. That's why you need help out there.
I'll buy a ticket to get in the courtroom and watch that.
I'll give you one more that I'm seeing increasingly in these kinds of situations. Steve, you mentioned being put in the hands of the wrong kind of doctor who may not order the right kinds of tests. More and more and more, patients are being treated by non-doctors.
Mm-hmm.
You go see who you get a nurse practitioner. A nurse practitioner can do a lot of things, but they're not a physician. They don't have the same training. They can't order the same tests. I see more and more physician assistants. If you're a patient, you go to a hospital or health center, and you're seen by somebody who is a PA. That is a physician assistant.
Yeah.
They are not a doctor. They are barely trained in medicine, if at all. But more and more, that's who the insurance companies that drive healthcare today are having see and be responsible for patients. Well, and bad things are happening.
I'll tell you right now, I just received a text message from a client. Literally, it's 2:46 right now. It's 2:46 right now. I got a text message at 2:43 that says, I'm here he's here for his pre-op appointment. And they are saying that my adjuster says that I don't want surgery. This is scary, yeah. Right? So, I mean, you have these adjusters, these nurse case managers that are trying to run these cases, go against doctor's orders, some of the treaters, because there are a few good doctors out there, you know, in the workers' compensation system. It's not all, you know, people that are paid off by the insurance companies, although there's enough of them. But, you know, as soon as we get done with this, I'm going to have to jump on the phone with this client, you know, hear what's going on, reach out to the other attorney, figure out what this adjuster, whoever the adjuster is, thinks that he or she is saying. But these are people's lives that we're dealing with. It's not just claim number, you know, WC1042, right? This is a father. He's a husband. He's been out of work for a year and a half, making a fraction of what he made previously, who's trying to navigate the system with an attorney, you know, and verbatim, quote unquote, I'm scared.
Well, that's the best advertisement for what you do and what we do, because if you were someone in that situation and you didn't have a lawyer, you didn't have a good comp lawyer on your side.
Oh, you're getting involved, beat up.
You're screwed.
Mm-hmm.
And more people are screwed than get the kind of help you're talking about. So it's just another plug for the importance of having good advice.
Absolutely. So, Steve, believe it or not.
Joe, just real quick on that, because it's important. I know we're running out of time. But, you know, before you have surgery, you got to get clearance. So if you're 56 like me that had high blood pressure, I got to go to my cardiologist.
You got high blood pressure?
I have, complex migraines. So I got to go to my neurologist and I got to get a clearance. And then I got to get a COVID test. And then I got to take off days from work to do all of this. And my surgery scheduled. And then some adjuster sitting in an ivory tower after the injured worker's done all of that says, your surgery's denied. We get these phone calls and these emails weekly. And then because they've chosen us, we'll go into court and straighten it out. But mm-hmm. The problem is, as Mr. Lipscher said, that's not, it's just not right. That person has a family.
Oh, my God. That's right. What Aaron said. And if you're listening, this is why right here, and we talked about the contingency fee agreement, no out-of-pocket costs to get your consultation, me, but to retain one of these fantastic attorneys.
And Joe, just, you know, real quick on that, and I just want to add one more thing about New Jersey workers' comp. New Jersey workers' comp is a no-fault system. So you don't have to be at fault. The employer doesn't have to be at fault in order for you to file a claim. It's a no-fault system. You could have tripped over your own shoelaces. As long as you were doing what you were supposed to be doing, when you were supposed to be doing it, you have a workers' compensation claim.
And at this point, by the way, when you file a medical malpractice case, I'm asking Aaron,
yeah.
who's the benefactor of that? That the client, in other words, are you suing on behalf of a client?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah, I might.
Okay. This
always.
By the way, this is a game changer. For me, my mind's spinning.
If it's a death case, it's on behalf of the surviving family.
Yeah. I feel like I'm in the middle. By the way, Steve. Matarazzo, you could be 20,000 miles away. Okay, you're just as impactful as if you were sitting right here and in the middle, right in the middle of it. I'll tell you why. I feel like I just met a peanut butter and chocolate. Okay, and the Reese's cup was just created right here in the middle of this because, you know, I've said it before, and Aaron, it's been a long time,
It's good to be back.
And it's great to have you back. And trust me on this, it ain't going to be a long time again. But, you know, I look at this situation and I say to myself, you have advocates sitting right here, okay, that can change, that can and will change this game, okay? I don't think a lot, I've heard a lot of people talk about, you know, I've never heard attorneys from New Jersey do workers' comp that address the medical like these guys. I'll give you an example, okay? And as Steve Matarazzo and Steve Loopshire know this. We've been doing radio for almost a couple of years now. But I do a lot of radio. And and we were lucky that we got the best of the best on this. I've said this. I'm in New Jersey. I get injured. I'm calling Steve Matarazzo and Steve Loopshire. Now, one of my best friends got injured. He was on a stage. Okay, he sends me a text. We call Steve. He sends him. I'm like, whoa. This was just a couple months ago. He's working on a stage, and they pulled it out. Like in other words, it he didn't realize it. The lights went out, and it went up, busted up pretty. I called these. I sent these guys an email at midnight. I don't know, at midnight. Steve Matarazzo and Steve Loopshire called back at 12:05. Okay. I knew my best friend was in great hands, okay? And so I'm not just saying that. I mean, I'm very fortunate to have great attorneys in the network and all, but guess what? You know, if I had to be represented by, you know, two guys, okay? I'm injured in the state of New Jersey. It isn't even a question. And now that we have this situation covered, you should be working with every attorney in the city of Philadelphia, Aaron, because that's the first time I've ever heard it.
Here's another point that's food for thought, because typically workers' comp, and correct me if I'm wrong, guys, there are certain things that workers' comp can provide you, benefits it can provide you, but it can't provide all of the benefits of your injury. So, for example, if it doesn't cover your pain and suffering.
Correct.
Right? That's a big one, obviously. Correct. And so it's important especially if you've had a serious injury.
Especially if there's a negligent third party, right?
Right. There might be a medical malpractice case. It might be at work there's a claim over, say, a defective saw that you cut yourself. That's the workers' comp part. But there might be a claim against the saw that was defective or some machine at work. The stage case you talked about, Joe, there might be some negligence by a contractor.
There was no caution tape or anything like that.
Right. So you want to make sure you issue spot those, because that can, if there's a claim there, that would cover pain and suffering.
I mean, and exactly. We got. By the way, we have 2 minutes. So you know, we never got
the show has moved quickly.
By
today.
The way, we never got to the Uber, Steve. But I'll be honest with you. This has been as substance based a show as I've ever been a part of. You know, on radio. And I say that, you know, because, you know, we learn so many things.
Well, we don't have any time, but we can address the Uber, Lyft, Instacart, DoorDash at the next show. But people out there, you're being told that you're not an employee by these insurance companies or Blue Stars, mostly a policy that insures them. That is 100% bull you know what. You are an employee, and so is a realtor. There's a case rate on point on that. We could talk about that next time. But these people are totally getting hosed because they're getting letters. Real quick, Loopshire saw me send an email at 8 o'clock the other night. Some claims person sent me an email. I've been doing this 30 years and said, your guy works for DoorDash. He doesn't have a comp case. You should have seen the email I sent back to this young lady. Wow. He's got a comp case, and he needs to get an attorney to help him.
So having said that, that brings in, and we'll get the misclassification of workers. It happens all the time. Mm-hmm. And we all know why they're doing that. Steve Matarazzo, let me ask Aaron Fryer, contact information, somebody wants to get in touch.
You can reach me by phone, 215-940-6291. That is my direct dial phone number, folks. You can use that. And
the website?
Website is Freewald Law, F-R-E-I waldlaw.com, Freewald Law in
Philadelphia. Awesome. Steve Battarazzo, contact information, my friend.
Every one of my clients gets my cell phone number, 609-432-468. 638-432-4668. You get my number. You don't have to go through 15 different people. I'm here. Call me. I'm very passionate about this.
Steve Lubscher.
And I'll tell you what our website is, mlworkerscomplaw.com.
Awesome. Well, listen, of course, we want to thank everybody for tuning in to the Matarazzo and Lubscher Show here on WWDB. We want to thank Tyler, our producer. We want to thank Aaron Freewald, our guest. Thanks. Fantastic. Of course, our hosts, Steve Matarazzo and Steve Lubscher. Awesome show. I want to be there when that caseworker gets the post. I'll pay for that one. But on behalf of everybody on the panel, I'm Joe Dougherty. Thanks for listening, everybody.